Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
I want to share today, hopefully you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and time with family and friends. And just a time to reflect and really be thankful. I really love that our nation has chosen to have a holiday around being thankful. That's a wonderful thing. It really is. It's an unusual thing in the world, to be honest. And it has gotten people in trouble being thankful. You remember when Daniel, such a righteous guy, loves the Lord has positioned him in the government in Babylon. And the guys who were jealous of him, jealousy, stirred them up to create a document to get the king to sign off on that anybody who worships any other god, you know, during this 30-day time period is going to get thrown into the lion's den. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed," I love this guy. "When he knew the document was signed, he entered his house." Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks. Praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. This was a lifestyle that he had. And he was captured from Jerusalem. His city was sacked. Who knows what happens to his family? What happened to his family? He's taken 600 miles away to Babylon to serve someone else, to have to get renamed, learn a different language. And instead of being a complainer, you've got Daniel, after he knows this document signed, this could cost him his life. Instead of griping, instead of going, you know, why me, or throwing a self-pity party, he throws open his windows and prays and thanks God all the more. Thanks God all the more. Of course, what happens, as we know, that really ticks off the people who created the document. They trick the king, and Daniel goes in the lion's den, and God protects him. God is his defense. But Daniel was a rebel with a cause to pray and give thanks. It is a rebelling against the world system and the ways of the world when we give thanks. Do you realize that? It is the exact opposite. We live in a culture that is full of complaining and whining and grumbling, and giving thanks is the exact opposite of that, and it is a beautiful thing. Thanks is acknowledging and appreciating someone, letting them know that they're seen, that they're recognized. And I think having this heart of gratitude, although we talk about this at least once a year during this time, it is a great reminder for all of us to embrace and have a heart of gratitude all year round and every day, every day. And I've even asked myself, am I a thankful person? Can you ask yourself that? Are you a thankful person? I believe you are. And I want to even more so be a thankful person. Where it may come out of me more than anything else, I want that to be thankfulness toward the Lord. It does some incredible things for us. There's a little science behind that too. There are hundreds of studies. I was looking at several of them, related to gratitude, thankfulness. Lots of papers published, lots of psychology reports. And so this isn't just a spiritual thing. The world does even recognize this. And it says here that overall, with all of these studies, that gratitude has impact on brain chemistry and psychological well-being, including the release of feel-good neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin. This process can improve mood, reduces stress hormones like cortisol, reduces that, enhances sleep, and strengthens relationships. This is not a Christian person writing this. Gratitude builds resilience against adversity and changes our brains. Gratitude changes your brain. It releases all kind of great things for our bodies. It basically releases health for your own body. But as you say thank you to others and to the Lord, something is going on the inside of you that's releasing health to yourself. A thankful, grateful person is often unknowingly taking powerful spiritual vitamins for the mind and the body and the spirit. Conversely, grumbling and complaining, you'll probably guess this, negatively affects your physical and mental health, releasing stress hormones. So you got a different kind of release on the inside. When you grumble, when you complain, when you whine, when you moan and groan, there's a release of the stress hormone, like cortisol. It can lead to problems like high blood pressure, weakened immune system, weight gain. It can also rewire your brain. Your brain also adjusts here and changes, that focuses on the negative. And it's damaging. It can make you feel and act more pessimistic. And that you've all seen within yourselves probably, as well as observing other people. The people that I love to be around are thankful type of people. The people I don't care to be around are those who are complaining and whining about everything. It's like you just want to, like, I just want to distance myself. Because it is not a great effect on me, and I don't like hearing it. It doesn't help. It's the exact, you know, the Lord has had this struggle for a long time, right? With us, with all these humans he made, is that we have tended to, humanity, including myself here, to lean toward the pessimism side of things and grumbling and complaining and being negative. And it was a big problem in the wilderness. As you remember, with God's chosen people, with Israel, he sets them free out of slavery for all those hundreds of years, has a path for them, a roadmap to a promised land. That walk should have taken 2 weeks. It's a 2-week journey to get to the promised land. But grumbling and complaining and whining and being unthankful and then leading to not trusting God turned a 2-week trip to a 40-year trip. I think we can extend, in a negative way, we can extend fulfilling the purpose in our lives through negativity and whining and complaining and grumbling. And I think things happen more quickly when we're thankful. It's more of a straight path in the Lord when we maintain a heart of thankfulness. Whether it's in our spiritual lives or our natural lives or you're at work, even, you know, if you have not the best examples around you, or maybe you're not being treated like you should be treated, or you feel you should be treated, or things just are a mess. There's not really in the Bible a provision and reason to be a grumbler. There will always be reasons to grumble and complain, but we have to bypass those things. Just bypass those things. Man, it's easy to be a whiner and a complainer. There's a lot of things to whine and complain about. But when we bypass those and focus on what we are thankful for, it's a game changer for our physical being, our emotional well-being, our brains, and our spirit, and I think the path of our life. It is a huge change. This is why this is so important to talk about. This seems small, and it might just seem like, yeah, we know about this, but it is monumental. Bless you. The mark of a mature person is gratefulness. I've noticed that. Mature people, they're grateful people. Mature in the Lord. An immature person in the Lord is one who is a complainer. It's a mark of maturity. Philippians 2, verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You and I are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Isn't that something? If we do all things without grumbling, complaining, disputing, all of a sudden we appear as a bright light. And that's our calling. Part of our calling Jesus gave us, part of our calling that Daniel prophesied, is that in the end times we would be bright lights. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world while I'm in the world, but you're the light of the world. And how do we shine? In part, by not grumbling and complaining. By being thankful, we begin to shine because you stand out. Because everyone's going the other direction. Lots of complaining about everything. When you don't complain and choose to find things to be thankful for, you stand out in a major way. It may be as much as any other element of your Christian being, like showing love and being kind, being thankful and not complaining, you're going to stand out. I can tell you, employers like it. If you're an employer, you like it when people are not whining. That's an opportunity for promotion right there. Just get out of the grumbling mode. And again, there's going to be lots of reasons to complain, but we're not supposed to take those and join in with everyone else who's doing that. Okay. Misery, this is a quote I created. Misery surrounds the life of a complainer, while peace and joy fills the life of the grateful. Misery is a choice, by the way. Misery is a choice. And we don't want to choose that. And complaining does that. And a little bit similar to an EKG being used to test a physical heart, thanksgiving reveals the health of our spiritual heart. How am I doing? Well, am I thankful? Not as much lately. I found myself oftentimes being in the complaining mode. And not being, it's like the Lord will just adjust me. It's like holding a mirror up and going, man, you have not been very thankful. You're in complain mode. And then life doesn't seem good at all when we're in that. We have to break out of that. Throw that thing away. Because there are always millions of things to be thankful for. And hundreds of people to be thankful to. You've heard me say this many times. There's always... Always, no matter what the situation, more that's been done for you than has ever been done to you. There's always more that's been done for us than ever has been done to us or against us. Before you were born, before you met Jesus, while you were sinners, Christ died for us. Right? I was looking up to see who the first person to give thanks was in the scriptures, and perhaps in world history. I have no idea. And the first one I found is Leah. This is back in Genesis. After she was complaining, then God opened her womb, and at her fourth child, named Judah, she became thankful. And honestly, if you look at Leah's life, it's a shift in her entire life. Not just her life, but that child, Judah, which means praise, is basically where we get the word Jew, comes from Judah, the lineage of King David and how about Jesus, came from this line, this tribe, as Leah turns her heart to thank the Lord. Boy, it's like a wave and a generational blessing by being thankful. One of the things I've also recognized is that when the veil is removed from our eyes, when you are not a follower of Jesus and then you become a follower of Jesus, when you become born again and the Spirit of God moves on the inside of us, one of the first things that often is a result of that is thankfulness. You start being thankful. You start seeing, your eyes are seeing things differently. And sometimes as believers, we can go back to those old ways of thinking, but we don't want to do that. But a new believer, oftentimes, they're just wild in wonder and thankfulness instead of complaint. And we want to maintain that. That's a childlikeness that is wonderful to the Lord. I want to maintain that. That's a God makeover. When he does that, moves on the inside of us, it really is beautiful to be aware of and to recognize the spectacular that God has done all around us and to be thankful for it. We have a son that lives in Denver now, and so we flew out there for Thanksgiving and was with him, and I had to pull off the side of the road just to stare at the mountains. And I'm thinking, if you live there, everything probably just becomes normal, and you just see it every single day. But for me, it's like, for that moment, I just want to stare at this spectacular beauty that God made and just start thanking him. It's like a praise section on the side of the session on the side of the road. Lord, you are amazing. How did you do that? And this is incredible. It's breathtaking. Thank you, God, for making the world that you've made, the way that you've made it, the things that you've made in it. There are thousands of things to be in wonder over and to thank him for, in addition to all that he's done for us. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's interesting. Have you ever prayed, Lord, I want to know what your will is for my life? Here it is. To give thanks in everything. Amen. We fulfill his will by doing his will, which is giving thanks in everything. That's a part of our fulfillment of doing what he has called us to do, is having a heart of thankfulness, of gratefulness. In everything. Now, notice it doesn't say for everything. We often confuse that. It doesn't say you have to be thankful for everything. It's not saying that. But in everything, which means in any and every circumstance, you can still be thankful for things, even if it's not the very thing you're going through. In everything, find opportunity to be thankful. And you see that throughout the scriptures. It's over 150 times the Lord mentions gratitude or thankfulness. And it's woven in and out of moments where there's great celebration because of something that's happened that's wonderful, but it's also in the midst of great difficulty. When things are really hard, when things are going the wrong way, when the circumstance is the exact opposite of what I was promised. Those moments are not supposed to keep us away from being thankful, but actually in the midst of it, to choose to be thankful. You know, when you read some of the saints of old, some of our brothers and sisters who were martyred, some of their last words, you find that in the midst of them being tortured, beaten, and about to be killed, they are thanking God. Incredible. They're thanking the Lord. In the midst of our difficult circumstances, instead of focusing on how difficult this is and wondering why, what if we turn that into thank you, Lord, for who you are and your goodness and your greatness? Thank you, Lord, for your perseverance and your help. Thank you for your comfort in the midst of this difficulty. We can be thankful in everything. In everything, giving thanks. Psalm 136, verse 1, of course, all of Psalm 136 really, starts off, give thanks to the Lord, to God the God of gods, the Lord of lords, for he is good and his loving kindness is everlasting. And David, who wrote this, was a guy who experienced a lot of things that gave him good reason to be a complainer. Can you imagine living for 10 years of your life? 10 years on the run for doing nothing wrong, having spears thrown at you, having an army chase you down, having to live in caves, not knowing what you're going to eat, not being able to be with your wife. In fact, the guy who's chasing you took your wife away and gave her to another man to marry. David had lots of reasons for complaint. And in fact, if you read throughout the Psalms, he did complain some. There's, you know, called prayer. There is time to complain. There is time to share what is, God already knows what's in our heart to begin with, but to share the difficulties and to be real and to complain to God. But there's really no time in the scriptures where it says we're to complain to others. We're not to be grumbling, complaining, and spreading that to others. If I have a complaint, let me share that with the Lord. And I have. I've complained about several things. I still do with him. But it will not supersede my thanksgiving. We can share some complaints. That's being real. We're not to be religious. Not to be fake. Not to be pretend. We want to be very real. At the same time, I'm not going to let those things dominate my heart and my life. I'm going to share them with the Lord, but then I'm also going to thank him for 8,000 more things than what I'm complaining about. Let's do that, right? Psalm 100, 1 through 5 says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all of the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing," which you were doing today. "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Don mentioned this earlier today. "Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good and his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." A password to the gates of heaven is thanks. Thanksgiving opens things up. I wrote this kid's book several years ago. It's an allegory of these kids finding and exploring and having an adventure where they find God. And in it, I wrote about these huge gates, taller than they could ever climb over. And they were the place where God is on the other side of that. And what opened those gates as they began to thank. As they began to thank, these gates start swinging open as they enter into the presence of the Lord. And there is something to that of our thanks opening up things for the presence of the Lord in our lives as well. When we thank him and choose to bless his name, you know, any parent in here with children, and your children are grumbling and whining and complaining and not being thankful, oh, it just wears on you. It wears on you. And it's like, how can I help them have a perspective of being thankful for all that I do? It's like you just, sometimes it's just hard to figure out. And it's oftentimes not till they're in their 20s or 30s or 40s. That they begin to go, oh my goodness, I can't, all my parents did for me. How wonderful. And we did the same thing to our parents. I have, as I've left home, and I kept getting more thankful every time I would write to my parents or call them or send birthday cards or whatever, or anniversary cards to them. I became more thankful as I could appreciate what they had done for me later. In the moment, I wasn't as appreciative. And that's because I was immature. Part of that maturity, thankfulness, is a mark of maturity. It's a mark of growing. And we want the same from our kids. We want to be that way toward the Lord and to those around us as well, those at work, those in our lives, family, friends. We want to be thankful to them. It is a beautiful thing. Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, which is giving thanks to his name. Part of praise, that's the word when Leah named him Judah, and it was a thankfulness coming from her toward the Lord. Praise and thanks are intermingled. Sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of lips that give thanks to God. God doesn't eat steak or turkey, but the meals he enjoys happen to be the fruit of thanksgiving that comes from our hearts and our lips. He loves it. He enjoys. And it's not often you see in the scriptures what God, he doesn't say, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do this for me. But you get these little glimpses throughout the scriptures that thanksgiving is something that touches his heart. He doesn't need anything. God doesn't need anything. He's self-sufficient in every way. But he really enjoys people who are thankful. It blesses him when we are thankful to him. In Luke 17, verse 11, says, this is about Jesus, as he entered one village, 10 men approached him, but they kept their distance, for they were lepers. They shouted to him, "Mighty Lord, our wonderful master, won't you have mercy on us and heal us?" When Jesus stopped to look at them, he spoke these words, "Go to be examined by the Jewish priests." That's all he told them. He didn't lay his hands on them. He didn't speak healing over their bodies. He told them to get up and go and share with these priests to be examined. So they set off. They had faith to respond to the words of Jesus. They set off, and they were healed while walking along the way. Incredible. They were healed while they obeyed. As they obeyed, they were healed on the way. One of them, a Samaritan, which the Samaritans were not looked at in a good way by the Jewish people. They kept their distance from them. They hated each other. The Jews saw them as very impure, a mixed race. But here, it was a Samaritan, when he discovered that he was completely healed, turned back to find Jesus, shouting out joyous praises and glorifying God. Verse 16, when he found Jesus, he fell down at his feet and thanked him over and over, saying to him, "You are the Messiah." "So where are the other nine?" Jesus asked. "Weren't there 10 who were healed? They all refused to return to give thanks and give glory to God except you, a foreigner from Samaria." So clearly here you see Jesus is a perfect reflection of the Father, affirming that he was expecting thanksgiving, thankfulness from all 10 people who were healed. He was hoping for that, expecting that. Only one of them did that. And clearly that would have meant something to the Lord if they all had returned to give thanks for healing. He affirms that. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." So if you're rooted and established, built up in him, there's an overflow. There will be an overflow of gratitude. It's like you see this person and they are just overflowing with thanksgiving. They're overflowing with gratitude. You can tell that's a rooted and grounded person. There's a mature person. There's someone who is in love with Jesus and sees clearly. They have a renewed mind if they're overflowing with gratitude. And that's what we're called to be. And that's what gives us health as well. I want to be a compulsive and habitual thanker. Are you a compulsive, habitual person of gratitude, thanker, where it's a mark on you. If people ask, if they say about you, what are you like? Does this come out of them? Oh, they are just so thankful. They're so grateful. They're overflowing with gratitude. I don't know if that would be said about any of us. Hopefully it is. But I want that to be. I want that to be said about me. I want that to be said about you. And in heaven especially. That heaven would see us as these type of people who are so grateful, overflowing with gratitude. And I have asked the Holy Spirit to help me in these areas, particularly when you see things in a world that are just wrong, that are awry, whether it's government type of things or taxation or so many different things that are just a mess and awry, you can get in there and just like get lots of emotion and energy around all the negative things that are going on and the wrong that's being done to us and this should not be happening this way or whatever it is. That does not release health to your body. That does not help us get to where we're supposed to be going. It's interesting, Jesus, living in the time when he did, under Roman occupation, paying taxes to Caesar, who saw himself as a god, Jesus doesn't complain about any of that. He doesn't complain about any of this Roman Empire that is over them. In the midst of all that, he says, let's not focus on these guys and what was being wrong, done wrong to you. Let's focus on what God has done for us. Let's be thankful people in all situations, every single situation.